Amen. Thank you, choir. We had a great week of revival. I'm grateful for all of you who are able to be here for that. Great speakers each, great preachers each service, and just challenged us. Continue to be in prayer for Jeff and Anna Phillips as they make the transition to come and be with us. They'll be here sometime the 1st of October. Still looking for a place for them to rent, so please keep your eyes and ears open for that. We do need an affordable place for them to be able to have, of course, three boys. So that creates a challenge as well, just having the space for them at an affordable price. So, but be in prayer for them as they continue through this transition. We look forward to having them here with us. Also, there are several other announcements that I didn't make in your bulletin. Please be sure to look at that. There's a couple of inserts there to look over. Be aware of those things that are upcoming. Go ahead and turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 19 there in just a moment. Now, I would ask you this morning, is there anything in your life that you really enjoy doing? I mean, something that's just sort of a place of comfort and peace for you, a place where it allows you to just sort of get away from other things, relax your mind, and you just really, really look forward to being there. It's something that you enjoy more than anything else in your life. And chances are, whatever that is, you have a passion for that. Now, I've known people who had such a passion for hunting that they would go out before going to work in the morning to spend a little time in the deer stand, and then they'd go back out into the deer stand after work to spend a little more time in the deer stand just so they could get some hunting in during the day. When I was in college, my first year in college in particular, I wanted to play golf all the time, so 6 days a week you could find me on the golf course. Consequently, you could also look at my grades and see that I had been on the golf course. I know some ladies who enjoy doing crafts. You're always doing some sort of craft, but not only do you enjoy doing crafts, you like to go to craft shows so you can find out other crafts to do when you get tired of doing that craft. Some of you really have a passion for doing that. Jesus had a real passion for fishing. Now, I'm sure that you can remember when Jesus was fishing in John 21. You know, the disciples had been out fishing. They hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus said, guys, throw your nets on the right side of the boat. I mean, these guys were seasoned fishermen. And Jesus is telling them, I mean, come on, you know, really? He's telling them how to fish. Well, they do exactly what he says to do. And the haul is so great, they can't even bring it back to shore. They catch so many fish. But you know the reality when we talk about Jesus, his passion for fishing wasn't really catching fish. His passion for fishing was fishing for men. He had a heart for those who didn't know him. He had a heart for the lost. You see, the Word of God makes it very clear that it's his desire that none should be lost. He had a desire for fellowship and friendship, but his number one desire was to see lost people become saved people. And so many times when we look at that, we think, well, God wants to make bad people good people. What we need to understand is God wants to make dead people alive people. He wants to take us from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. It's not about going from bad to good. It's about going from death to life. And that's what he's called us to be about as Christians. I want us to take a look at how Jesus had a passion for fishing and the impact that it had on two fishermen and how it should impact our lives. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word this morning. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that your word is not simply a truth, but is the truth. God, open our hearts and minds to hear from you today. God, help us to apply your truth. Lord, penetrate our hearts powerfully with your word, that we might leave here encouraged, that we might leave here challenged, that we might leave here, Lord, with the mission that you've given us to reach out to a lost and dying world. Again, Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray right now you'd soften their hearts, prepare them to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that I would get out of the way and that you'd be able to speak through me whatever you need to say today. It's in your precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the first thing that stands out to us in this verse is the word follow. Jesus' first word to Simon Peter and his brother Andrew was follow. They were both laborers and hard workers. They were fishermen by trade. They weren't rookies at what they were doing. They were seasoned fishermen. They weren't recreational fishermen. They didn't do this for fun. This was their trade. This was their job. This was their living. And Jesus comes to them and says, follow. Now, the amazing thing to me is their response. If you look in the text, they didn't hem and haw about it. They didn't argue with Jesus. They followed. Now, I wonder how we would respond today if Jesus came to us where we are and said, follow. Would we even recognize that it was Jesus? Now, I don't really know how they knew that this was more than just someone saying something to them, some stranger. There was something in their heart that God spoke to their heart, that Jesus, when he spoke to them, that they knew this was more than just an ordinary man speaking to them, and they followed. They went after him. They didn't procrastinate. And I know a lot of times we think in our own minds, well, you know, if Jesus said, follow me, that I would follow him. I would do what he said to do. I mean, if Jesus were walking by and he said, follow me, I'd go. For every one of us who claim to be Christians, for every one of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, every single day of our lives, he's saying, follow. Every single day. How are we responding? I don't have time today. I mean, there's so much on my schedule to do. I'm so busy. I've got so many things going on. That's just too much. When we don't follow him, we're living in disobedience. We're rebelling against him. He has called us to follow, and too often we choose to do our own thing. Today there are all sorts of ways to follow people. With all the social media, you can follow someone on Twitter, you can follow someone on Instagram, you can follow someone on Facebook, you can follow a business on each one of those things. You'll see businesses say, like us on Facebook. You'll see all those kinds of things, and it's amazing to me how much these things come after us. I mean, the reality is, you know, I have a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram, and I'll be honest, I don't spend much time on Twitter or Instagram at all, but every day I get emails or some alert from them about what somebody tweeted or somebody who's on Instagram that's on Facebook and all these kinds of things. And the reality was, if I really was that interested, I would be on there. You wouldn't have to tell me in the first place. But you see, there's something about that sort of follow. I mean, there's some businesses I follow, some things that I like. You know, I follow the Golf Channel. Now, that comes as a surprise to some. I follow certain Christian singers that I like. I might follow certain Christian speakers that I like, or the North American Mission Board, or the Baptist Press. And I follow some of these things, and they have their feeds on there, and I can look at those. But here's the thing. You know what I can do if I really don't have time, or if I frankly am not interested? Just keep scrolling. I can go right on past it. I'm afraid too many of us treat following Jesus like social media. And today, I'm just not interested. I'm going to scroll right on past him. Today, I'm not interested in paying attention to what Jesus has to say to me. Jesus is not someone we can follow in sort of a passive way. When it comes to him, it is indeed all or nothing. Because if we haven't given him all, hear me, if we haven't given him all, we've given him nothing. He wants our everything, and he deserves our everything. He gave everything for us. We need to learn to trust him and to follow his leadership wherever he desires us to go and whatever he desires us to do. Simon Peter and Andrew stopped what they were doing and they followed Jesus. I'm sure that there was a burning in their hearts that told them that what he said was important, that they should follow him. And if we were honest with ourselves, we'd have to admit that many times in our walk with God, we felt that burning, we felt that drawing of God, and we've ignored it. I'll never forget, I don't know who it was that said it, but I remember a preacher years ago said, anytime you ever feel prompted to share your faith, rest assured, that is God speaking to you, because the devil will never prompt you to share your faith. How many times have we felt like we should tell someone about Christ, and in our mind we're going, oh, I'd be kind of awkward right now, or I really don't have time to do that right now. It's kind of an uncomfortable situation. If it was better, I mean, if the circumstances were a little easier, and you know, I don't really have a good word to say. I don't have a good transition. I don't know how to get to that conversation. You can tell I've had that argument quite a bit, can't you? See, the reality is when God prompts, we need to share our faith. We need to let him worry about how it comes out. We need to let him take care of what's spoken to their heart. But God will bring people to him if we'll simply be faithful in telling others about him. But I wonder how many times in our life there are things that are hindering us from learning more about him, hindering us from really getting to know him so that we have this burden and this passion in our lives. There may be some things in your life that on a daily basis are keeping you from him. I mean, things that can be okay as long as he's a priority. You see, sometimes things like social media, sometimes things like our television, sometimes even books we read can distract us from the main thing that we should be focusing on. I'm not saying that every minute you have a free time at home, you should have the Bible on your lap, reading God's word from the time you get home until you go to bed. I'm not telling you that, but what I am telling you is if you're not being intentional about spending time with God, you're not going to grow in God. It's just not going to happen. There are too many things that distract, and there are too many times that we rationalize and make up all these reasons why we can't follow God. But the truth is, it's just rebellion on our parts, and it's disobedience. It's high time that we stopped talking about being a Christian and started living like a Christian, putting our faith into practice. We need to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives and not quench the Spirit in our lives. If God is leading you to do something, whether it's mending a broken relationship or trying to resolve hard feelings you have towards someone or to share Christ with a co-worker or a relative or whatever it is that God may be leading you to do, you need to be obedient. God will restore that joy and that peace in your relationship with him. So we must learn to have faith without resistance, trusting that God will answer the questions. Here's the part we don't like. He'll answer the questions on a need-to-know basis. We've got to trust him and be obedient to him. So we see, first of all, follow. But here's a critical part of that. Jesus doesn't just say follow. He says, follow me. You see, who you follow does matter. Now, it may not matter so much on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, but it does matter who you follow in your life, who you pattern yourself after. We're called to follow Christ. I'll never forget one time we were having a fellowship. This is when I was a teenager. We were having a fellowship after church one Sunday night, and I remember pulling out of the church parking lot, and I got behind the car of the family that where the fellowship was going to be, and I grew up in Augusta. The church that I grew up was on a six-lane highway. And we, as I turned out of the church, I was right behind them at the traffic light. I turned right on what's known as Deansbridge Road, if you know anything about Augusta at all. And then we went down to Bobby Jones Expressway and got on the expressway. We went from South Augusta out to Evans, which was about a 12 or 15-mile trip. And I followed them all the way, got to their house. They pulled in the driveway. I pulled up to the curb. They got out of the car, and they were church members, but they weren't the right church members. I followed the wrong car all the way to their house. When they saw me, they felt a little less panicked because they realized this wasn't some completely strange person following them. What had happened is that this family and the family that I was supposed to be following had the same car. But I was following the wrong people. I got there first, ahead of anybody else. But let me say something to you today. There is not any joy in being the first person to the wrong place. If we follow the wrong people, we may get there ahead of everybody else, but there won't be any joy in it, because the only place we can find joy is in Christ. He's the right leader. He's the one that we must follow, and we don't need to accept counterfeits along the way. I'm sure some of you are, maybe if not all of you, are familiar with Rolex watches. I do not have one. But I know a little bit about Rolex watches. I know that there are plenty of counterfeits. When I was thinking about this, I went on the internet just to see in a Rolex Presidential. Basically, from what I found on the internet, you could buy a Rolex Presidential today for about $24,000. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't need a watch that costs more than my wife's SUV and my truck costs combined, or that I have to insure separately from those. Now, listen, I'm not knocking anybody that has one. I'm not saying that at all. That's not my point. But my point is this: you can tell the difference between a real Rolex and a fake. A real Rolex has a sweeping second hand. If you look at the second hand, you will see it move smoothly as it moves around the face of that watch. If you look at your watch or my watch, most of us have quartz movement, and you'll see that the second hand ticks. But on a Rolex, it moves smoothly. I did, however, find out that a friend of mine had a fake that the second hand moved smoothly on. So on his watch, you couldn't tell that it was a fake. However, he took his watch off and he handed it to me. He said, "Now feel the weight of this watch." And his fake Rolex was pretty light. He said, "The difference between mine and a real Rolex is a real Rolex has weight to it." You can tell the difference if you know the difference. The reason so many times we can't tell the difference between the truth and a lie, between a real prophet and a false prophet, is because we don't know the real prophet. We don't know Jesus. We've got to know him. We've got to know his word so that we recognize a lie when it's being told, so that we recognize when people are saying things that are not consistent with God's word. It is so disheartening to see people who have grown up in the church buy into false doctrines, buy into things that are not consistent with God's word. If we know the real Jesus, we'll never be confused by any fake. You can only know the real Jesus if you spent time with him, and unless you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll never have any desire to spend time with him. You must first receive his free gift of grace before you can know him more intimately, before you can have that personal relationship with him. But once you do, you'll immediately spot fakes. So many people are led astray by false religions and cheap imitations because they've never known the real Jesus. Isn't it time we got plugged into the real thing? Isn't it time we dug in to his word so that we learn to follow him? Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me." Now I want you to look at what Jesus says will happen if we do follow him. He will make us what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. Now, I'm telling you, it takes a big rod and reel to catch men. It's a big rod and reel. Not even sure what kind of bait you put on there. I don't know, maybe, Dwayne, you think a steak or something like that? We know he's not talking about using a rod and reel to catch men. But the truth of the matter is, most of us in here are hooked on something. And too many of us as human beings, ultimately, if we just get right down to the very core of it, we're hooked on ourselves in one way or another. We're hooked on what we want to do, what makes us happy. And the reality is, every one of us need Jesus. Every one of us need to get hooked on the right thing. You see, we've got a lost and dying world around us, and they need to see the genuine article in us. They need to see the love of Christ in us. Admittedly, it's not easy to show the love of Christ. We're at battle with ourselves. Paul reminds us of that in Romans chapter 7, that we have this constant turmoil between the flesh and the spirit, between what we know we should do and what we actually do. But we are to show the love of Christ. We are to seek out those who are lost and realize that they are in need of something, and we have the very thing that they need, Jesus Christ. Our problem is that I'm afraid many of us have forgotten what it's like to be lost. We've forgotten what it's like to be in desperation. I remember one time several years ago now, I was hunting. I'd been out with a friend of mine. We met, it was at least an hour before sunup. We drove out to where the deer stands were, and this was on his property, so he knew the woods well, and he had a flashlight. He walked me into the stand that I would be sitting in, and I got up in my stand, and he went off to his stand. And a little while as the sun began to come up, and you started to see the rays coming through the tree limbs and the sun splashing across the leaves and the pine straw below, I was looking around, and I will confess, I am not very good at sitting still, but I was doing the best that I could to sit still. Well, as the sun came up, the wind began to blow. It wasn't a terribly cold morning, but it was a cool morning. But as the wind began to blow, it began to blow pretty good, and it was getting cooler. And I'm sitting there, and I sat there for a couple of hours after the sun came up. And finally, I just got to the place where I had not seen a thing, had not heard a thing, no deer in sight. So I got down out of the stand, and I started back toward the truck. I came in dark. It's amazing how when I got down out of that stand and turned around and felt like where I had come from and looked, and it looked like I didn't know where in the world I was. So I just kind of began to walk where I thought I had come from, and every now and then I just sort of, you know, whistle a little bit just to make sure no one would confuse me with a deer. Well, as I walked along for what seemed like forever, it was probably only a few minutes, after I whistled one time, I heard a whistle in response. My friend had heard me, and he got down out of his stand, and he came, and he helped me get back to the truck. You see, for a moment there, when I thought I wasn't sure if I was going to find my way out of those woods, I was found. Folks, there are people around us every day who are in far much more dire circumstances that are wondering, not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do with their life, not knowing if their life has any purpose or meaning, and they're waiting for someone to come along in response to their need. They're waiting for you and me to share the love of Christ with them. But are we listening? Are we listening for their whistle? Are we listening and recognizing the needs that are around us, or are we just going our own way, doing our own thing? There are two questions that most of us as Christians don't like to hear. Here's the first one. When was the last time you led someone to Christ? The second question is almost more of an indictment than the first. When was the last time you told someone about Christ? See, because the truth of the matter is, God's the one who saves. It's not our responsibility to save, but it is most definitely our responsibility to share. What if this entire church this week shared their faith with at least one person this week? Just this group right here. I'm just guessing that somebody would come to know Christ this week. Just each of us shared our faith this week. We have a responsibility to tell others about Christ. And listen, I am not going to stand here and tell you, oh, it's so easy. It's hard. It's hard in the sense that we're uncomfortable. When we had revival this past week, I knew God had put somebody on my heart that I needed to share Christ with. So Thursday, I made it a point to find them, talk to them. And literally, as I'm sitting there with them, boy, you know, there are other people around, and there are all sorts of reasons going through my brain about, you know, man, this may not be the best time. But I knew what God had put on my heart, so I shared with them. Now listen, I'm not telling you that sharing your faith every time is for you sitting down and sharing the four spiritual laws with them or taking them through the Roman road. Sometimes sharing your faith is getting them one step closer to Christ. It may be asking them a question to consider. In this particular case, I asked this young man that I'd been sharing with, and I've shared with him before, I asked this young man a question that I wanted him to consider. And it was just this: who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Well, I don't remember which preacher it was. I can't remember for sure who it was, but one of the preachers this week reminded me of something that I'd thought about several times before but had forgotten about recently. And the reality is there's only three possibilities for any of us when it comes to Jesus. Either he was a liar, because he said he was the Son of God. And if he wasn't the Son of God, then he was a liar, and he wouldn't be a good man, so we shouldn't follow him, if that's the case. If he wasn't a liar, then he might have been a lunatic. He might have actually believed he was the Son of God, and he wasn't. And in that case, he was still not worthy to be followed. But if he wasn't a liar, and if he wasn't a lunatic, then he was the Lord. And he was exactly who he said he was, and is. And he did die in our place, and he did rise from the grave. You see, and the resurrection distinguishes him from anyone else. He is alive and well. Alive and well today. And we have reason to share him with others so that others can know him, so that others can have a relationship with him. But you and I, we need a hunger for lost souls. We need a burden for those around us that don't know Christ. Do we love them enough to be willing to share our faith with them? Do we love them enough to be uncomfortable, to feel a little awkward, to be ridiculed perhaps by the world around us? But do we love them and care about their eternity enough to tell them how they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Let's encourage one another. Let's pray for one another to be the soul winners that God has called us to be, to share our faith with those around us. I pray that we'd have an epidemic of lost people coming to Christ right here in Gilmer County. So we see, he says, follow me and fishers of men. But fourthly, I want you to see what he says. He will make us fishers of men. He will make us. You see, here's the thing we're thinking. Well, I've got to do this within myself. I mean, you know, we've got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and you know, I've just got to be a better person, and I've got to do this. No, the reality is, we've got to get to know him better. And when we get to know him better, when we spend time with him, he will change our hearts. When Jesus gets a hold of our lives, when he begins to transform our minds, we begin to think like him and we begin to see other people like him. It's simply a natural occurrence. The more we get to know Christ, the more we'll want to share our faith. And yes, I mean to imply that if we're walking with God, we will share our faith. We'll never be the Christian that God called us to be if we're not sharing our faith. Granted, we won't all see the same amount of people come to Christ, but we will share our faith. If we genuinely know Christ, if we genuinely spend any time with him, we'll begin to reflect him, and we'll want to tell others about him, and we'll share our faith with them. One of the things that I've noticed about myself is if I spend time around people, I can tend to pick up accents I'll say words like they say words. Sometimes when I hear the same thing over and over. When I was in seminary and we lived in North Carolina, there was a word that they used that was totally misplaced. To give you an example of what I mean, it was the word won't. Now, you and I understand that that is a contraction of will not. But they would use that as past tense in the place of was not. To give you an example of what I'm saying, if they were referring to the door, they weren't saying it won't close like it will not close. They were saying it won't closed. It was not closed is what they were actually saying, but they were saying it won't closed. Now, I have to admit, I only lived there about 2.5 years, and I did not pick up the habit of using that unless I intended to, and then occasionally I would throw it in with intention. When I was living in Lincolnton, they did something that was rather unique to that area. They would refer to children as chaps. Chaps. Now, I will have to confess that I spent enough time there. I lived there about 7 years. I spent enough time there that occasionally that would slip out in my vocabulary, that I'd been around, especially if I was talking to other people from Lincolnton, because I knew the lingo. Sometimes when referring to kids, I would say chaps. I'd hear it come out of my mouth, and I was like, man. But you see, when we spend time around people, we start to reflect. We start to do things maybe like they do, or we say things. You know, I heard all my life, you know, you remind me of your father, or you remind me of your mother. We have those things, and people see others in us. I pray that we'd spend so much time with Christ that others would look at us and see a reflection of Him in our lives. That we'd start to say things that when they come out of our mouth, we realize they're not from us, they're from Him. They're from His presence in our lives because we've spent time with Him. Man, I got to tell you, sometimes when I'm preaching, sometimes when I'm sharing with somebody, God will put something on my heart or in my mind that comes out. And I want to have an out-of-body experience about that moment and step back and go, man, that was good. Because I know it wasn't me. I want to be clear. I'm not patting myself on the back because I know God put it in my heart. You see, when we spend time with Him, we'll start to reflect Him to others. We'll start to say things like He would say, and we'll start to have a heart for things that we wouldn't otherwise have a heart for. I want to challenge you and encourage you this week to sit down and to see whether or not you're being intentional about being with Him. Are you spending time with Him? Really spending time with Him? Not just checking it off a list. And listen, I'm not talking even really about the volume of time. I'm not saying, hey, you know, you're not really having a quiet time if you aren't spending an hour a day in your quiet time. I'm not telling you that at all. But I am telling you, we've got to spend time with Him. And it can't be just flippant time. You know, God, I read a verse today, said a little prayer, I'm good. No, it's got to be about really being with Him. Make time for Him. This morning in closing, I want to ask you just to suppose for a moment. We're standing outside of Walmart talking. You know, they've got that area there in front. And we're talking and you've got a 4-year-old little girl with you, and she is the apple of your eye. But we're in conversation, and there are people around coming back and forth, and in the midst of conversation, your little girl slips out into the parking lot there as, you know, the traffic comes through there. And I see her out of the corner of my eye, and I realize there's a truck coming, and I realize the driver in that truck's not paying a bit of attention to the fact that she's in the way of that truck. And I immediately run out, and I do everything I can to get her out of the way. And I'm able to get her out of the way. Unfortunately, she ends up with a few scratches, but other than that, she's okay. But unfortunately, because it happened at the last moment, I don't fare so well. The truck hits me. My legs are crushed in the accident. Simple accident in a little parking lot. Didn't seem like much, but my legs are caught under that truck. My legs are crushed in the accident. I'm in the hospital. You come to see me with that little girl. You're just so grateful. You're thanking me for the fact that I was willing to risk myself to protect your daughter. And you're apologetic. I'm so sorry you're hurting. I'm so sorry you're going through all of this. But thank you so much for doing that for my little girl. And you ask me, is there anything at all that you can do for me? And I say, you know, honestly, the doctors and the nurses, they're great. They're treating me wonderfully. I have no complaints. But you know, there is one thing you could do for me. Would you do this for me? You know, sometimes, I hate to admit it, but sometimes preachers get a bad reputation. Would you just tell 10 people that I'm a decent guy? Would you do that for me? You know what you say? Preacher, I've already told hundreds of people what you did for me. Not just 10. And I'll tell hundreds more because you did the greatest thing anyone's ever done for me in my life. Jesus Christ gave everything for me and for you. And you know, the one thing He asks of us is just to tell somebody what He did for us. No one ever did anything greater for you than He did. No one ever did anything more for you than He did. He gave His all so that you wouldn't have to face the consequences of your sin. He paid the price. He asks us to tell. Are we going to follow him? Are we going to let him make us fishers of men? It begins with following. If you're here today and you've never followed him, you've never placed your faith in him, then right now, admit to yourself that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. Listen, I'm not pointing fingers at you because I want to tell you right now, I'm a sinner too. Even as a Christian, I'm a sinner. And I have to confess my sin on a daily basis to maintain fellowship with God. But as a six-year-old boy, I knelt beside my mother's bed and I settled the issue of whether or not I was going to choose God or choose me. And I chose him. I asked his forgiveness. He forgave me that day. I haven't forgotten that day. Over 43 years later, and I still haven't forgotten the day that I asked God to forgive me of my sin and placed my faith in him. I don't care what age you are today. If you haven't done that, you need to. Christian, pray that you've done more than just take that first step. I pray that you've begun to follow him on a daily basis. If you realize you haven't been doing that the way that you should, then I want to encourage you to be more intentional about spending time with him, because when we will, when we do, he absolutely will make us fishers of men, and we need to be. I know we're scared. I know we're frightened by that thought. We're frightened of what might happen if we completely give ourselves to him, but we must give ourselves to him. The consequences are too great if we don't. You may be here and there's something going on in your life, even those closest to you don't know about. Something's absolutely tearing you apart right now. Maybe you just need to lay that at God's feet today and ask him to take control of it. But whatever it is, whatever your burden, whatever your hurt today, let God have his way right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you for the call to follow you. And Lord, I thank you for each person here that's answered that call, accepted that call. God, help us to be more intentional about seeking you out on a daily basis and sharing our faith with others. God, I know there's some here who haven't answered that call, some who haven't trusted you. God, give them the courage right now to choose to follow you. Lord, for those who have various burdens and concerns, give them the strength right now to lay those at your feet. God, there may be others here who have been wrestling with some particular call in their life, something they know that you've been leading them to do. And God, I pray they lay down their will and choose your will. God, we give this invitation time to you. We ask you to have your way in this place, in our hearts, right here, right now. It's in your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen.